Fall sports season is coming up quick, both on UNC campus and at high schools across the county and across the state and beyond. News on that front this week, though, as we reported earlier, Chapel Hill High School just announced that they are not going to be fielding a varsity football team this year because they did not get enough turnout at the upper grade levels to field a varsity team. That's the second team in Orange County this year that is not fielding a varsity team. Cedar Ridge High School also is not playing varsity in 2018. East Chapel Hill High School didn't play varsity in 2017. And this is all in the context of growing concerns about football as a sport, particularly in the context of more and more research coming to light about the long-term impacts of high-contact sports like football. Is that a coincidence? Is it part of a trend? What is the future of high school football and beyond? All questions that we're going to answer in the next few minutes with Stroman on Sports. We've got Dr. Debbie Stroman on the line, athlete, commentator, scholar, expert on analytics and the business of the sport world, joining us on the phone. She's also the host of If You Only Knew, which airs every week right here on WCHL. Dr. Stroman, thanks for being with us. Good to have you on the show as always. And does football have a future?
Well, that is a great question, and certainly for a lot of parents. And if you look at the data, the future doesn't look very bright. And if it is going to exist, it's definitely going to have many, many more changes. There are a number of reputable studies out there talking about overall participation in football going down. Sports Fitness Industry Association looked at the number of boys ages 6 to 17 playing tackle football, fell about 18% in a six-year span, and that was 2009 to 14. And then the following year, the number went down again. If you look at the high school level, the National Federation of State High School Associations reported that there were fewer football players, almost 2.5% in the 2016-17 season. And so this is continuing to be an attention getter. I think many, many Americans, in fact, I'll even say worldwide, love American football. They love watching the NFL. But in terms of the pipeline, who are going to be the players that actually play X number of years to gain the experience, the knowledge, the skill set, the discipline to make it to the NFL, that pool is getting smaller and smaller.
So what is the reason for it? I mentioned at the top that I assume it's got to have a little bit to do, at least, with parents being concerned about if my kid plays football, what are the long-term health effects going to be? But is that the primary reason? Are there other reasons? What's driving the decline?
Well, there's no doubt that the media attention, and this is where a number of football leaders, administrators, and even our very own Coach Larry Fedora speaking up, and it's partially the media's fault, drawing so much attention on concussions or brain injuries amongst football players, the whole CTE disease, which is linked to the type of head-to-head hits that occur very, very often in football. Also, Boston University, which is arguably the leading university looking at brain trauma in relationship to football play, last September, they released the results of a long-term study, and it was very, very frightening. They concluded that athletes who began playing football before the age of 12 had more behavioral and cognitive problems later in life. And so I think it starts there. I know there are other reasons, everything from the rise of the technology or digital age, which means esports. Mm-hmm. We see a big, big boom of young boys sitting on the sofa or on their desk in their bedrooms, doing the hand-eye coordination with the mouse and playing these games. So they're not outside necessarily sweating and getting the engagement of a team sport. Expenses have changed dramatically. I remember, and I know it was a long time ago, but having that school bus, the sports bus that would take kids to and from their homes so that they could stay after school and participate in sports, many budgets have dried up, and that sport school bus is not available. So now you're asking parents to find the dollars to redistribute household income so that they can take care of their child in terms of sport participation, and then just overall the economy. You know, it's been argued that just about most Americans, I'd say at least 75% to 80%, are all living from 1 to 3 paychecks away from a disaster. And so when you think about what you can put your money towards, you have to think about emergencies, you have to think about investments in other areas and not necessarily the expense of playing football.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, so all of that, all of those points suggest that rather than seeing kids going to high school and playing some other sport, that they're just going from playing football to not playing anything at all. Is that what we're seeing?
And that's exactly right. The participation decline of football is just a part of an overall youth sports trend. Again, continuing with the data from the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, they say that 45% of children between the ages of 6 and 12 played a team sport regularly in 2008. Now only 37% do. And that is a big number to look at in terms of decline. I know everybody basically understands the benefit of human movement. It's critical to our to life and death. The body has to move. And when we don't increase that interest at a young age, we get more and more sedentary people. So we're in our 20s and our 40s and then, you know, seniors, and we're struggling now to all of a sudden get those juices going, getting the motivation to move and to play. And we all know the number of outcomes that are positive by participating in sports, you know, the determination, discipline, teamwork, all of that. So we're really missing out. And then one other thing I mentioned is just the curriculum, the way our schools are governed today, there aren't enough people advocating for recess. And I think that will help not only academically, but also help in terms of our development physically.
I know we've had conversations like this where we start talking about one thing, or we think we're talking about one thing, and we actually find out we're talking about something else. But I'm just struck by how often this happens, where an issue comes up and you start talking with someone and you're trying to focus on this particular issue or this particular problem that's arising. And it ends up being about something else entirely. We start talking about the decline of kids playing high school football, but this actually is a conversation about wage stagnation and the decline of education spending and the decline of civic engagement in America.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, again, we say that sport is that mirror to society or that platform, but its roots are American culture. You know, this is a United States game that was constructed, and when we have the opportunity to watch young men go out there and battle and compete, and we can engage ourselves around that, whether it's, you know, going to the ball game and socializing, getting caught up on the news and the happenings in the family, and then, of course, cheering on our favorite players, that becomes a part of the social construct or fabric of the United States. Now, would we be okay without football? Certainly there will be other things that will fill that gap. But there are many who will argue that football is indeed one of the most, I guess you could say, one of the better ways to instill that discipline and the particular characteristics that are needed for young men today. And I know this is what Coach Fedora was referencing in the sense that the military is often considered another analogy for this type of growth and development. And part of that military work is based off of who shows up for the military in terms of a volunteer, and oftentimes it's a football player or someone who's participated in sports. So, you know, my thing is making sure that we're careful that one death is one death too many. Mm-hmm. So we have to do all that we can to ensure safety, and we have to allocate the resources in this particular way. And being someone who's very, very concerned about and advocates for racial equity, I put the racial lens on this matter as well in terms of who is going to be the football player, not 20 years from now, but maybe 2 years from now. Will it only be African-American males? Because when you look at socioeconomic status, whether you're white, black, or blue, or green, people with money are making different decisions as to whether or not they're going to have their boys play this game.
That's absolutely right. And you said it as soon as I was thinking it about Coach Fedora's comments at ACC Media Day last month, which sounded so weird when we were talking about them. But if you kind of extrapolate out from that, as you just did, and say, well, it's not necessarily if football goes away, then so goes the country. But if football goes away, that might be a sign of these larger trends that we're talking about, and that is concerning. So getting back onto the field, I know we're talking about high school football right now, but if the pipeline is drying up, then we're going to start to see these effects kind of going into the college level and the professional level. So what is the tipping point? How much of a decline would you need to see at the high school level before you start seeing this effect really manifesting itself in a really noticeable way at the college level or beyond?
Well, it is that pipeline. And I don't know if we could use Chapel Hill, Carrboro as an example, because our economics are so such extremes, you know, such a high income area and highly educated. But, you know, certain other areas that are a bit more urban, they are going to continue to have the numbers and a much more wide range of incomes that football might be sustained a bit more. But when you talk about resources, and you talk about a highly educated population that wants their children to experience a lot of things, you know, maybe buying the extra shoulder pads and taking a bus across town, there might be enough of a groundswell for the parents to say, nope, I'd rather have, you know, an immersion in another country for my child. I'd rather have another language be introduced. I'd rather have some other type of experience. And there are other sports that they could choose, that you don't necessarily have to have the hitting, the head-to-head hits where my son could learn. But certainly if, you know, we have two of our high schools now saying, no, we're not going to play this game, mm-hmm. and the other one has decided it in the past, that is very noteworthy. And, you know, I don't think the other schools in the county would have a problem, oh, we're not playing one of the Chapel Hill or Carrboro schools anymore, but it would make a statement across the state. So I don't know how big the groundswell will get. There are those people in America who still believe that sports is their way out of their community, which is so erroneous and sad. But for some people, it might end up being, because of the money being dangled at their son, that their parents keep their son in the school, in that particular football program, just for the thought of, this might be my way out.
I'm going to have to leave it there, but that is such a broad issue. You know, we're going to be talking about it again and again, especially as we get further into football season, which starts very soon, right around the corner. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.